Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I have a guest in studio. And for those who last year, when we were promoting an event taking place in New York City, Sober St. Patrick's Day, quite a few people saying, particularly since the spokesperson at the time was Malachy McCourt, who many of you will know has been associated with this program. I have spent decades trying to get him thrown off this program. And particularly since Malachy McCourt has become the voice, the holier-than-thou spokesperson. He's against drink of any kind. He is like, my God. And the fact that he was even associated with something called Sober St. Patrick's Day, of course, had the ripple effect, and so it gives me great pleasure, particularly since the Sober St. Patrick's Day of last year turned out singularly to be the most significant event that has taken place in New York City on St. Patrick's Day. I say that only because it is true. I would prefer to have said I was one of the founders of it. As a matter of fact, I was not. I stood back from all of it to see how it was going to go over. But now that it is a rip-roaring success, I would like to say I was almost a co-founder of Sober St. Patrick's Day in New York. So let me welcome, friends, the founder, the producer of Sober St. Patrick's Day, William Spencer Riley, who is a television executive. He is a special events producer. And he has produced documentaries, docudramas, and in fact comes from the entertainment field before he became a big whiz on the small screen on television. You served your time off Broadway, and indeed on Broadway as an actor.
Yes.
First of all, you're very welcome.
Well, thanks very much, Adrian. Great to be here.
Start with yourself and start with your life as an actor.
Well, I went to Fordham here in New York, and I was very lucky in the summertime to do my apprenticeship with the Yale Repertory Company. And I had a great opportunity to work with some very famous actors before they were famous, and I was chosen among the apprentices to play a lot of the smaller roles, which was the envy of a lot of the other apprentices, but it gave me a great opportunity to work side by side with professionals. And at the end of the second summer of that, just after I had graduated, I was given an opportunity to be an understudy in a Broadway show. And so I did that for about 3 years and toured the country. It was called Unlikely Heroes, 3 Philip Roth stories.
Mm.
And then I toured the country with a couple of Broadway shows and did a few commercials. And then after about 3 years, I decided that I'd rather work on the producing end of the business. And I was very lucky. I was given a job as the director of the American Theater Wing, the people that sponsor the Tony Awards. And I ran that organization for 6 years. And then ran a large performing arts center in New York, and then about 18, 19 years ago, I got into the television industry.
Yeah, and boy, you got into it. Modesty will get you nowhere around here, by the way. You in a big, big fashion. You've been extraordinarily and continue to be extraordinarily successful in television.
Yeah.
Well, and fair play to you. Yeah. We've known about you for years, and then when... the Baal Malachy, before last year's astounding event, Sober St. Patrick's Day, when Malachy was saying, you should put on, Bill Riley on your program. And I said, yeah. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, if that's what it is. And then Malachy comes on, totally oblivious to the fact that actually this was your gig. Didn't even tell you about it. And then he comes on, and he's there as the creator of sobriety and I say that obviously tongue in cheek.
Yes.
But many, it conjures up many images. Sober St. Patrick's Day. This organization, of Bill Riley's is probably a secret branch of incognito of Alcoholics Anonymous, of Al-Anon, of whatever. Actually, this is something you don't have to be against drink.
Well, absolutely.
At all.
And we're certainly not against having a couple of drinks on St. Patrick's Day at all if you're not in recovery. I mean, we clearly take that position. What we are against is people or some people who've taken advantage of the day and use it as an excuse to get drunk. But we're certainly not against having a couple of drinks on St. Patrick's Day at all.
It is and always has been, as far as I can, and long, long before I came on the scene here, the unfortunate association with St. Patrick's Day and drinking and getting wasted, and particularly for younger people. Those who, indeed, many of whom grew up, many of them came in to either be participants in the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade or, in fact, to be a part of a throng of what can grow to a million spectators. You could hardly blame a lot of those young kids from growing up and the day that they, because they were with their parents, and even if their parents were not drinking, the whole, the nucleus of what St. Patrick's Day was had to do with grog and raising the glass and everything, patch into that, if you will, the plastic shamrocks and the silly hats and everything else like that. But rarely did we see in New York City a St. Patrick's Day that didn't become a media opportunity to show the worst aspect of the Irish.
Yeah, and we're trying to show the best. It's really that simple, Adrian. It's that simple. I've always felt that there's so much more about this day than having it being about an excuse to get wasted, and particularly among young people, since binge drinking is on the rise among young people year-round. And there was a 22-year-old kid that gave me the idea. I was outside of the cathedral on St. Patrick's Day 2 years ago, and there was a 22-year-old kid, maybe he was 23, holding a can of beer in his hand with all of his friends. The parade was going by, and he was wearing a T-shirt. He was absolutely feeling no pain whatsoever. It was about 12:30 in the afternoon, and his T-shirt said, "St. Patrick's Day today, hungover tomorrow." So I went up to him. I didn't pass judgment. I just went up to him, and I said, "Gee, that's a pretty far-out T-shirt. Where'd you get that?" And he said, "Oh, I bought it in my local mall in New Jersey. They sell a million of them. Isn't it great?" And right then and there, a light bulb went off. And I thought, boy, we can do so much more on this day.
I just wanted to double back because the kids that we were talking about, those young kids who year after year made the annual pilgrimage to the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, one day would become the independent kid who would leave mom and dad and family at home and take the train with their friends and come into New York City. And many of them, ironically, would have their first, if not their first drink, their first big drunk on St. Patrick's Day, leaving them with an indelible scourge that would have to come back.
Yeah, and you hardly can blame them when you see a 22-year-old doing it. I was thinking about his young brothers and sisters who are 14 and 15. They want to emulate and do the exact same thing the next year when they're a little bit older, and that's what happens. They see the oldest ones doing it, and so they want to jump in and do the same.
There is I doubt if anybody either listening to this program or if any of us, and believe me, you don't have to have a drop of Irish blood in you to not have either a family member or an associate or somebody we know who has, has a life many times destroyed through and by addiction.
Yep.
The most obvious, obviously, is the drink, the grog.
Yes.
There are numerous areas of addiction, there are many addicts around who don't even realize that they're addicts unless with prescription drugs and all the rest of it, which keeps most of us together in the first place. But there is something deadly about the drunkenness. And again, we have separated the difference between a couple of drinks.
Yes.
And the prevalence of drunkenness, of binge drinking, which seems, if there's a national holiday for binge drinking, it would appear that even today, despite all of the efforts to curb, and I think a great job is being done by the New York City Police Department,
yep.
And in fact with all of the law enforcement authorities, no longer are they allowing those who are coming from afar to come in and bring their booze with them. But even at that,
yep.
there is something about St. Patrick's Day and drinking that, you know, you were talking about, you can't blame them too much. The truth of the matter is that if you are coming into New York on St. Patrick's Day and you have your family with you, you have one of two choices at that stage. And one is to leave after you're there, maybe, you know, get to a McDonald's or a fast food place. But there are and hasn't been any major attempt on St. Patrick's Day, we're talking about now the heart of Manhattan, for an alternative,
yes.
As in, where's the family place?
Yes, yes.
If anything, the family entertainment places are there for the rest of the year, but somehow take a holiday on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That's reality.
It is reality. And so what we do is we create a rip-roaring party with world-class Irish musicians and dancers and comedians to have a great blowout time. There just happens to be no alcohol there. And at the same time, it's a great opportunity for families and kids, particularly for kids, to be introduced to St. Patrick's Day in a new light, where we really focus on us looking at our best and not at our worst, where we talk about the great depth of the culture and the richness of who we are as a people and the talented performance we have in all stripes.
Absolutely. And it's second to none when you're the entertainment is great.
It is. We have great people this year.
And you started off, and you have indeed attracted a great number of sponsors. And again, we're not talking about those who write big checks, but when you have such sponsors as PepsiCo and Betty Ford Clinic, Tourism Ireland, Northern Ireland Bureau. This is something that perhaps didn't come that easy, because when you are, you know, when you were last year being your
first year,
and you want to do something like that, I think that many would say, well, you know, that's good. Let's see how it goes.
It's exactly what happened. People, I think, were on the sidelines really watching to see how this was going to go. We stuck our neck out. We only had 7 weeks to put this together last year, and Noel Kilkenny couldn't have been a greater help to us. He believed in us from day one, and we just went through the roof. Not only did we sell out in advance, but at the same time, I think word hit the street that what this is about is not only a great time, but it's really addressing a much, much bigger issue. Because at the core of what we're about is really trying to change the perception and the meaning of what St. Patrick's Day is. And we all know that we're much better than people falling down looking stupid. And so not only did great performers come on board, but subsequently the kind of press that we got was just mind-boggling. I mean, and it's now growing so that we're going to be in Belfast this year as well. And then Ruth Riddick, who has been my right arm in all of this, our director of development, since March the 18th.
That's why she's not doing as much for us as we thought she should. But anyway, she just did a disappearing act on
Well, she's a woman who has been invaluable to me. And the two of us have spent the whole last year since March the 18th growing this. And not only is this going to be in Belfast, Northern Ireland this year, but we're creating a 501c3 not-for-profit so that we can do this work year-round and grow it to other American cities such as Boston and Chicago and Minneapolis. And I have no doubt that Sober St. Patrick's Day will be there in 2014 since we're already going to be in other cities this year.
That is it's fantastic. The concept is terrific. And again, this is, you're not going to a meeting. You do not have to be in recovery.
Oh, definitely not.
And as you rightly point out, though, you're getting a lot of support, a great number of people who are in recovery.
Yes, very much so.
Who, you know, who have no problem whatsoever in looking as the extreme benefits that you have here. And yeah,
yes.
I think it's it is something that particularly with last year's success and this year in particular, but I think it is something that can go a long way in changing the image of the Irish,
yes,
the drink,
yep,
the horrific scourge. Unfortunately, much of it for very good reason that we have carried. And
yes,
also, I don't know which, if any of us can get through a year without meeting somebody who, particularly youngsters, who, if they're introduced or something, and say, yeah, I'm part Irish, hey, I can drink, you know, as if it's cool.
Yeah.
Ironically, one would have imagined that by now we would have been able to shed some of that image.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because I got into this game because I almost lost a family member to addiction 8 years ago, and it changed my life because I didn't realize how much, not only how big this problem is, but more importantly, how it affects the entire family.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think, what is a mystery to a lot of people. They think, oh, daddy has a drinking problem, and I'm not aware of how it affects mommy, how it affects the other kids, et cetera, et cetera. And so having almost lost a family member, I'm also an adult child of an alcoholic, and so I know how this has created such an enormous scourge on families, not only here but, of course, in Ireland. And at the core of it is ignorance, because most people are not aware that, you know, this is a disease of denial, and so particularly people who have a problem ignore the fact that they do, because they think, oh, well, I got up and I went to work today, and so therefore I'm okay. But the family part of this is really at the core of why we're doing this.
You know, we've had, over the years, we've had many guests in our program, none who generates more of a reaction than Dr. Gowert O'Connor and his wife, Fionnuala Flanagan. And they carry with them, though, quite a bit of controversy in the sense that rather, people like myself say, no, we're no better, we're no worse than any other ethnic group. It's just that, it only appears that way. And then you have a Gareth O'Connor who says, listen, that's a load of crap. We are. It's in the genes. It's in our culture. It has to do with the 800 years of oppression. It has to do with being at the bottom rung of ladder, and But again, when Garrison, he was here, he'd be with us obviously again this year, but when he says that we have a much bigger responsibility now than ever before, because somewhere in the midst of sobriety is now kind of getting lost because of all of the other addictions that are have moved kind of to the forefront. Sobriety, though, is something that it's not for everybody, but there's a huge difference between having a drink or two anytime and becoming addicted, in which case I think that's kind of what we need to point out here.
Yeah, and I think part of it is because a lot of people are clueless about what the term drink responsibly really means.
Right.
That's a whole other subject. You know, people think, well, if I'm not falling down looking like an idiot, I'm drinking responsibly. And what people don't realize is that it's a disease that creeps up on you because it's progressive. And Garrett and Fanula was at the party last year, and she just you could hear a pin drop, the piece that she read, and she's a big supporter of this, and a lot of other celebrities are also going to get on board behind us, and they have been invaluable, and Fanula Flanagan is somebody who not only is a big fan of this, but at the same time, I know that is a great spokesperson for why we need to pay more attention about it.
Right. And again, we'd like to point out that many of the people who attended last year are those who we know have nothing against taking a drink, but they are also those who are very aware of the necessity. And one might think, I believe it was the Irish Echo who said this is this event. Was that Ray O'Hanlon who said in the Echo, this great event should have started maybe 250 years ago.
That's
right.
Terry Galway said that. Terry did. Yeah, it should have started about 250 years ago. But right, it's we actually have a terrific website where there's all this great material on, which is SoberStPatricksDay.org, and Terry's article, and there are literally scores of articles and television and radio, and but I think his comment was right on the money.
I'm sorry for accusing Ray O'Hanlon for that. I'm sure he'd be very vexed if somebody tells him that I was suggesting that quote came from him. SoberStPatricksDay.org.
Yeah, and Saint is just ST without a dot. So SoberStPatricksDay.org. That's right.
Right. Now, I know you're running all day.
Well, no, we went from 3 to 6. The party is from 3 to 6 p.m.
And it's from Regis 3 High School, to 6 p.m.
At Regis High School. We are at 60 East 85th Street.
And also we would like to recognize that a longtime friend of ours and somebody who indeed spent decades at the Irish Echo. We speak of Eileen Murphy, and Eileen is your press and media director.
She's terrific. She's been just great.
The second annual Sober St. Patrick's Day, it is a new party, a new way, and again, it's March 16th, Regis High School, at the address on 85th.
60 East 85th.
60 East 85th Street.
And tickets are online at SoberStPatricksDay.org.
SoberStPatricksDay.org. Okay, William Spencer Riley, founder, producer, thank you for joining us.
And thank you, Adrian. Appreciate it.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.